Amen. Move myself over a little bit. Good evening, everyone. I'm here tonight to continue our current evening series of Planted in Truth. And for a little test, I wondered if any of us could remember any of the promises we've already had. And by my count, we've had 8 since January. Can anyone remember any of the Planted in Truth promises?
Saved,
yes. Sorry, there was another one from the back. Light, yes, never. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness.
But we'll have
heal your land, yep. Done by yours truly.
Whatever you ask.
Whatever you ask, yeah. We're doing well. You got half of them so far. Anyone else?
Future.
The future, yeah. Pardon? The present.
Presence.
The presence. As in now, yep, the present, yep. Was that the one, the Lord himself goes before you? One?
Yes.
Maybe, that one, yeah. No, that's good. There's only one you're missing. Needs, well done. I was going to say, it's the most recent one. We had it only last week, wasn't it? Only last week. Amazing, well done. You got all 8 of them. That's a brilliant. So I'm going to be honest and confess that I haven't quite managed to hear all of these sermons yet online. But if you're sat here thinking you're the same as me, they're all on the church website, so you can give them a listen. So back to tonight's passage. The promise we're going to be looking at tonight can be found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I'm going to refer to various chapters and verses in the Bible throughout my talk, so it's probably easiest for you to just leave Matthew chapter 28 open. I'll give some context to this passage in the Bible, and then, like any good Baptist sermon, I've got 3 main points before doing a short recap again at the end. So to give us some context, these words are spoken by resurrected Jesus after a 400-ish year gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The book of Matthew begins, and we have Jesus' family tree, followed by the classic Christmas story of Jesus' birth, a tiny baby in a manger in a stable. This baby, over time, grew into man, and about the age of 30, he began his public ministry. He cured sickness, cast out demons, calmed storms, and called disciples. The writer of this particular book of the Bible, Matthew, was called by Jesus to become a disciple, and he was one of the 12 disciples that were closest to Jesus during his ministry here on earth. Check out Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. I'm going to assume that most of us here tonight also know the Easter story. Jesus was betrayed, arrested, beaten, and crucified, but his story didn't end there. He rose again, alive, defying death, defeating the devil, demolishing religion, and demonstrating God's boundless love for us. The books of Matthew, Luke, and John in the Bible tell us that Jesus appeared to his disciples many times after he rose from the dead, and we can safely assume that Matthew would have been one of these disciples. Once Jesus had spoken to his disciples for the last time, he ascended into heaven. Read Luke chapter 24. So now we've got a bit of context, a few, let's look back at the verse itself, concluding the book of Matthew in verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The Amplified Translation finishes these verses with, lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Matthew's is the only gospel that ends with the Great Commission. If you don't believe me, read the last chapters of Mark, Luke, and John for yourself later. But Matthew has chosen to skip over all the other sightings of a resurrected Jesus and to tell us only of his last earthly words to the disciples. Hence the title, The Great Commission. Jesus' last mission for his disciples in these verses is to go and make more disciples. which sounds like it takes a lot of doing, but the truth is we cannot complete the Great Commission without the presence of Jesus. It is impossible for us to make disciples without the power of the Holy Spirit already at work in their life. That doesn't mean that we get lazy. It doesn't mean that we're off the hook. No, God invites us to partner with him to make more disciples, to join in with what God is already doing. Paul in the Bible was a great example of this. The beginning of Acts chapter 18 is set in Corinth and shows the Jews rejecting Paul's message. God appears to Paul in a vision and says, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you or harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." Paul held on to that promise and stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, reaching out to others and making disciples with the help of the Holy Spirit. We have been looking at Acts in our Sunday morning services recently. So, back to the verses. My first main point is that Jesus remains. The Oxford English Dictionary says that the word remain means continue to exist, especially after other similar people or things have ceased to do so. Jesus outlives any and all other gods that we may choose to worship. I don't think any of us here bow down to Zeus or ask Minerva for wisdom these days. All other gods will come to pass, but Jesus never will. Jesus will outlive all cultures, countries, and nationalities. He will continue beyond every fad, phase, or fancy. Jesus will outlast every craze, cult, and even creation itself. The original Greek word for with in our verse can be translated with, after, behind. Not only is Jesus with us now, but he has already been with us all our lives and will continue to be with us for the rest of our life to come. It's difficult to think of something these days that lasts. Our world is constantly changing, updating, and evolving at what feels like lightning speed. Someone that has been a constant, at least in our country for many years, is the Queen, Elizabeth II. An excerpt taken from www.royal.uk says, "The Queen has ruled for longer than any other monarch in British history, becoming a much loved and respected figure across the globe. Known for her sense of duty and her devotion to a life of service, she has been an important figurehead for the UK and the Commonwealth during times of enormous social change." During a speech on the day she became Britain's longest reigning monarch in 2015, the Queen said, "Inevitably, a long life can pass by many milestones. My own is no exception." The Queen has worked alongside 14 prime ministers and has reigned for over 65 years. But that is nothing compared to Jesus. John chapter 1 says, "He was with God in the beginning." And it also says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Jesus was at the beginning of time itself and chose to step into the disciples' era, there, here and now, to save the world. So how do we get to know the only lasting constant in the universe? Where can we find this infinite reliability? At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out so that Jesus' presence would continue even though his physical body was and is still now in heaven with Father God. If you believe in Jesus and that he came to save us, then this Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you. The same Spirit that is already at work in others' lives and the world around us. And the Bible also says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them," in Matthew chapter 18. This means that Jesus is right here and with us tonight because we have chosen to gather together in his name. Jesus has always existed, exists now, and will exist forevermore. Bringing me on to my next point, which is that Jesus remains always. The Oxford English Dictionary definition says that always means at all times, on all occasions. And we have that in our Amplified translation. "I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion." Jesus doesn't run out. He doesn't get used up, and he certainly doesn't give up. He is with us at Christmas and Easter, and every single hour of every single day in between. He is with you when you are asleep and when you're awake. And before I start to sound a little bit creepy, I've got a great analogy. When I was pregnant with Abigail, I realized that she always went with me wherever I went, whether that was the toilet, the gym, work, home, the pub, to a shop, or back to bed. She heard everything I ever said for the best part of 9 months, even if it was a little bit muffled to her ears. And she was part of everything I did, whether she felt like doing it or not. I know there are a few of us here tonight who will personally never experience pregnancy. Any men in the room? Be glad you never have to experience labour pains. So another close analogy for most of us is probably owning one of these. What's the first thing you look at in the morning? What's the last thing you look at before you go to bed at night? I'm just as guilty. We carry our entire contact book with us in our pocket all day long and can reach anyone and be reached by anyone at any time. There's nothing more always than a mobile phone, as long as it's charged up, that is. We can contact Jesus at any time, and he can speak to us too. No need for a smartphone. In fact, nothing extra is needed at all. What would you say if it was just you and Jesus sat in a room together? And that's exactly what prayer is about. Jesus is our friend, not a business partner. He cares, he listens, he responds. It might not be in a way that we expect. We might have to take time to practice hearing him. But Jesus speaks and his presence is always with us. Do we ever ignore Jesus? Do we forget he's with us? Do we hear him and then purposely ignore what he said to us? There are plenty of stories in the Bible about people who went their own way instead of listening to Jesus. And you have a read of the book of Jonah for someone who turned the wrong way from God. And I know personally, I don't always stop and listen to what Jesus has to say to me. So my last point is that Jesus remains always, no matter what. The queen can no longer be queen when she dies, unfortunately. Abigail no longer goes everywhere that I go now she's born, otherwise she'd be right beside me here on stage. A quick shout out to Sarah Smith, who's babysitting for us tonight. Mobile phones break, they run out of charge, and they crash out from time to time. I know mine does. The worldly always that we learn to rely on runs out. And this means it's easy to find ourselves being let down. Even if we think life is plain sailing, suddenly you can be let down by sickness or an unexpected passing away. I know that many of us here will be feeling the loss of Kay and possibly thinking that God has let us down. Whilst it is okay to feel and think this way, the truth is that Jesus never lets us down. He is with us, regardless of circumstance, regardless of where we are, regardless of what we say or do, regardless of how we are feeling. Jesus is with us, no matter what, and the best thing is that he already knows exactly what we are thinking, what we are feeling, and what we are going through. Kay knew the always presence of Jesus, and it's important that we do too. His presence means that even if we feel lonely, we are never truly alone. Even if we feel sad, we have eternal joy to look forward to. Even if we are desperate, there is always hope. And with his presence, we are comforted, guided into truth, transformed and renewed, filled with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of skills. We are full of life. We are reminded of Jesus' teachings. We are full of power. We are children of God. And we are one with Jesus. There are so many more references to the Spirit in the Bible, which I could have included in that list. Jesus is in us by the Spirit, giving us power, life, and comfort. There is nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. Jesus will be with us no matter what. Psalm 125 in the Message version says, God encircles his people, always has, always will. So, to conclude, Jesus remains even when others fade. Jesus is always with us. We have his presence constantly through the Holy Spirit. Jesus is with us no matter what. No matter what we're going through, what we are thinking, what we are feeling, Jesus is always with us. So before I pray, after I pray actually, I'm going to read some verses from Psalm 139 that talks of this always presence in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are always here, that you outlast anything and everything in our lives, that we can always rely on you no matter what. Lord, may your presence be here tonight. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.